welcome back again to the What's Up program with your host, Terry Lowry. I want to welcome back a friend, an evangelist, a pastor, a soul winner, somebody that, friends, if you get a copy of his book, and if you don't share the love of Jesus Christ with someone within 1 week of reading it, if you get a copy of this, either you buy it at the local Christian bookstore, or if you win a copy, we got a couple more to give away after this next segment. If you read the book, and within 1 week, if you don't share the love of Jesus Christ with someone, I'm not going to say you got to lead somebody to Christ. You at least got to try. Just share your love. If you don't share your love of Jesus Christ with somebody within 1 week, if you don't have that burning desire, if you don't have new tools to do that, you just call me. I'll take you and your bride, you and your significant other, you and a friend. My wife and I will take you and one friend, your spouse, your bride, whatever, to the Taste of Texas for a steak, and we'll talk about why you didn't share your love of Jesus Christ for somebody after you're ready. But Mark Cahill, welcome back.
Thanks for having me back. That's actually what we do here in Atlanta is there's different groups of people that go out to different events, from a Barbra Streisand concert last week to Georgia Tech, just to big football games, and we just take them out and just teach them how to hand tracks out, get in conversations, and usually, once you get your feet wet, you're never the same again. But that's one of Satan's tricks, is not to get you started sharing your faith, because if you ever start, you may not stop. But he's got most people stopped, and God's just trying to get you started.
Well, it seems like in America, we live in this post-Christian society. Now, one of our founding fathers said the philosophy of the school will be the philosophy of the government in the next generation. Now, that's just a Terry Lowry paraphrase. Maybe you've heard that before.
Yes, I have.
And I'm afraid that in our public schools, and especially our colleges, we are indoctrinating our children with the belief in evolution. It's not taught as a theory, but it's taught as a belief. Do you agree with that?
Well, no. Actually, I just remember the quote you quoted was Abraham Lincoln, and what he said is what you teach in the schoolhouse will be what the worldview, the government of the country will be in the next generation. And the thing is, even though we're losing ground, and let's just be honest about it, warriors for Jesus Christ, we are losing ground. I don't quite buy completely the post-Christian society, because when I read my Bible, we still have a whole lot of the book of Revelations to play out. And so that means we're still in the Christian society trying to make a difference in a world that needs a good dose of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's our job to do it. But one of the biggest things Satan is using is a theory and not a fact to pull people away from the Creator.
Pull us away from our Creator. Now, your chapter 1 in One Heartbeat Away goes through evolution. Let me ask you a few questions about it, can I?
Yes, go for it.
Okay, what is evolution? Explain to our listeners, as an example, in the theory of evolution, can you explain to us where, when, and how did life begin using the theory of evolution?
Yeah, that's basically what the concept is. There's two concepts. There's something called microevolution. Adaptation changes within a species, okay? That's just called adaptation. There's no problem with that. You move a couple from the Netherlands, move them to the equator within one generation, their skin color is going to change because they're in a hotter climate. Their skin color gets darker to adapt to the climate change. The thing we're talking about is macroevolution, the difference between two species. So what they're trying to say is that we had animals that lived in the water, and then they moved up as they began to evolve feet and lungs, and then they could breathe it, and they moved up on the land, or apes moved into humans. So the big key here, macroevolution, the change between two species, that's the theory that they're throwing out there right now in all the schools.
Macro, but can anything come from nothing?
Well, that's the big question, and that's what I was even talking to an evolutionist the other day, and I said, okay. I said, I'm going to give you everything. Evolution is completely true, 100% true. I'm giving it to you. I said, I just have one question for you. He said, okay. I said, where did matter come from? And he just stood there, and he did not have an answer. Because even if evolution was true, you still have to have matter begin somewhere, and we know scientifically that something can't come out of nothing. So there had to be a kickoff. There had to be a start. And if there's a start, there's a starter. And then we got to find out who that starter is. Matter of fact, Anthony Flew, I actually quote him in the book. He's the great atheist evolutionist from England. He has written so many textbooks on evolution. They're used in universities all across the world. He very recently, in the last year, has renounced atheism and become a theist. And now he's not a Christian yet, but even he now knows that matter had to start somewhere, so there had to be a God that kicked it all off. And so the great atheist, Anthony Flew, is now backing away from what he's been teaching people for 80 years of his life.
Well, I believe, Mark, that I, as a Christian, I'm called to share my faith. Do you believe that?
Most definitely.
Now, if you believe that Christians are called to share their faith, what greater calling is there for a parent to share their faith with, you know, just strangers on the street, or to share their faith and to make sure that their loved ones are grounded in the Word? Which is more important for me as a dad and a granddad to, like you said, go to an OU football game, go up to Baylor, you know, this coming Saturday, and hand out tracts to probably those Sooners who are probably heathens, because everybody at Baylor is saved, I'm sure. Now, friends, I'm a Sooner, so I can say that. You know, what's more important, that I go up there, or is it more important that sometime this week, with my two granddaughters staying with me, my grandbaby and my oldest granddaughter, who's in third grade, staying with us a few days, what's more important? That I plan on going up to Waco to share my faith with complete strangers, or should I somehow find time to share the love of Jesus Christ and the gospel with my granddaughter?
Yep, and the answer is both, because when you read Deuteronomy 6, there is no more important job of a parent than raising their kids up in the truth of God's Word. I think that's the biggest problem today. People want to tell me all the time that the President of the United States is the most powerful man in the world today. Absolutely not. Matter of fact, he's not even close to the most powerful man in the world today. The most powerful people in the world today are parents. Parents have the number one responsibility to mold and shape their children into being godly, not Christians, godly warriors for Jesus Christ. But the question then becomes, do those kids see their mom and dads and their grandparents as warriors for Jesus Christ? And when they see us taking them to the Baylor OU game and not just sitting in a stands for X amount of hours wasting our time, but they see us out there handing tracts and talking to people, they begin to understand all that stuff you've been teaching them at home. I actually turned down a ticket to the World Series this year in St. Louis, because it is so difficult for me to sit in the stands with 50,000 people cheering something, idol worshiping something that doesn't matter the day we die. It goes both ways. Let's train our kids up in the truth, then let us see us being warriors for Lord Jesus Christ out in the world today.
Oh, hallelujah. I stand not corrected, but you're right. I should not only talk to my granddaughters about Jesus Christ, I should not only try to teach them how to stand in this fallen world, but I should take them with me as I witness to others. Like this coming Thanksgiving, will I work in a soup line? Will I take time to take my oldest granddaughter with me over to the Secret Santa warehouse that the Salvation Army puts on and help bag toys for needy families? You know, should I sit down with my granddaughter the way my wife explained to our youngest daughter years ago, Mark Cahill, when we were thinking about and discussing over the supper table about homeschooling? Our youngest daughter was in the fifth grade in public school at that time, and now she's 25 and married, so it's been a bit of a while back. But, you know, she was adamant she did not want to be homeschooled. But one day she came home, and during the evening meal, she said to my wife, "Mom, they started teaching the Big Bang Theory at school today. What should I ask my teacher?" Now, Mark, I'm here to tell you, I crammed more potatoes in my mouth, or whatever it was, because God gave me wisdom. She didn't say daddy, she said mama. So I have one mouth and two ears. I was going to listen twice as much as I spoke that night, so I crammed food, so I was biting my tongue. But my wife thought a minute. She said, "Well, little peanut, why don't you ask your teacher, where did the stuff come from when it exploded?"
Good question.
So is that what we should teach? You know, almost 90% of all the listeners right now who have kids of public school age, K-12, their kids are in public school. They are being taught evolution as fact. They're not able to talk about Jesus Christ. They're not able to talk about God and creation, but they are taught the religion of evolution. Should every parent tonight have this discussion with their kids? If they're having mashed potatoes, ask their kids where it came from, where the potato came from. Can you make something from nothing? Is that a very important question?
It's huge because, one, I'm a huge fan of homeschooling, and two, if it doesn't happen, they're getting taught a different worldview. Even in Christian schools, you have to be careful of this now. And see, what happens is the same thing. I was out at the Outback Steakhouse with my relatives, and my nieces and nephews watch me witness to waiters and waitresses all the time. My sister was outside. We come outside. I stop at someone's car and strike up a conversation with someone sitting in a car. They had all these tattoos on, so I thought they'd be fun to chat with. And he was, by the way. When I got back to the car, my little nephew, Christian, said, "Hey, Uncle Mark, were you sharing Jesus with that guy?" And I said, "Christian," I said, "of course I was." And see, they see me do that, live that out. But see, when you're out there witnessing, you get questions. And one of the biggest questions I just had, I was at Notre Dame last week doing a TV show in South Bend, so I stopped by Notre Dame for about 3 or 4 hours of witnessing. I get the question of evolution, because many people think it's a fact, and it's a theory, actually, without facts to back it up, which is kind of interesting. The evidence isn't there. So we've actually had people, Terry, we had a 17-year-old boy. He read this book, One Heartbeat Away. After the first two chapters, the first chapter on proving there's a God, second chapter on creation and evolution, he wrote a paper in school on creation versus evolution. His heart was so hurting for the teacher because he knew she didn't believe what the Bible said. He gave her this book at Christmas. We've had college professors reading this book. We've actually had emails to the ministry. People read just the first two chapters who are evolutionists after seeing all the evidence for the proof for God and the proofs against evolution and for a creator. They renounced evolution and came to at least the position of being a theist, knowing that there is a God.
Well, Mark, in chapter two of your great book, One Heartbeat Away, and friends, we're going to give away more copies every segment. Every commercial break, we'll give away a copy, so get ready. We got a case to give away over the next 3 or 4 weeks. But Mark, in your great intro in first chapter one, chapter two, you walk through evolution, given the Christian, given the reader ammunition,
yes,
and also asking questions and then giving some answers so that non-believer, you know, really, God can use what you're writing to open up their minds and take the scales off their eyes. Is that the purpose of like chapter two, where you go through all the evolution questions?
Oh, definitely. That's what we wanted to do. We wanted to ask some questions, fire away, and get people thinking. Not just, I realized what happened to me, Terry, was the reason I believed in evolution is because what it was I was taught.
Yeah.
I didn't realize I had never studied it before. I had just been repeating what other people had taught me. So what we did was, we threw a bunch of questions in here that get your mind spinning. One thing we went through was just the different transitional forms, Nebraska man, Pilta man, Java man, the ones that are the missing links, supposedly. And we show you scientifically how every missing link has now been disproven scientifically. Nebraska man, one of the missing links, they found a tooth. And out of this tooth, not only did they create a man from this tooth, a man with skin and hair. Funny you don't find fossils with skin and hair, though. A family tool. The pictures in textbooks are amazing. You know what they found out 40 years later? The tooth was from an extinct pig. It had absolutely nothing to do with evolution between a monkey and a man. But yet that is still in some textbooks today. That's how sad this has become.
Friends, yeah, I was just going to add that. In many of the textbooks, that tooth is still a man with a family with tools. And it's a pig's tooth. Friends, but they won't stand up and say, we made a mistake. Friends, in One Heartbeat Away, in this chapter on evolution, it talks about what is evolution. It talks about, can something come from nothing? That is the best question to ask your kids. When they're being taught the Big Bang Theory, if all this matter exploded and made the universe and made all the stars and all the bodies out there and all the suns and all of that, where did it come from? Can living come from non-living? Mark, you asked that question in your great book. Can living come from non-living?
Yeah, what we did, and because that was such a question, you can't take something that's alive from nothing. It's impossible. Life cannot come from non-life. So if we have life, it had to come from a life giver. And that fits exactly with Genesis chapter 1. And so it all fits together, because that's what we did in this chapter, is we did it in a very layman's language. So anybody can read this. We have junior hires eating this book up, okay? We did a very just conversational style language. We did a lot of quotes. We have quotes from Charles Darwin, quotes from these great scientists. This one guy, he has a museum in England. He has like 6 million fossils in the museum. And I asked him, well, we went to your museum and we didn't see any translational forms. Can you help us out why there aren't any translational forms? He said, I have 6 million fossils in this museum. If I had a translational form, trust me, I would put it on display so you could see it. He said, but I don't have any. What did he just say? I have a theory, but no evidence to back it up.
I have a theory, but no evidence to back it up. But yet it's taught as fact in our public schools. Friends, we take our little bitty kid. Now, this is family-friendly Christian radio. In about 15 seconds, it's not going to be family-friendly. Friends, if you got young toddlers in the car, young first, second, third graders, this is not going to be family-friendly. 3, 2, 1. Mark, we teach our children there's a Santa Claus, and they find out that we lied to them.
Right.
We teach our children there's a Peter Rabbit.
We interrupt this program for a special announcement.
All segments today, yesterday, and for nearly 2 years can be found at terrylowry.com. Log on to www.terrylowry.com and search the archives by guest, organization, topic, and or date. Visit terrylowry.com today.
And now back to our regular program.
Mark, we teach our children there's a Santa Claus. And they find out that we lied to them. And they find out we lied to them.
Right.
We take them to Sunday school and they're taught in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. And they go to school and they're taught we lied to them. What's your rebuttal to that?
Oh, my goodness. I was on a ski lift. I was witnessing to a lady, and she was a school teacher, just evolution, everything. So I used some of the proofs to disprove it with her. She did not like me at all. And all of a sudden, she had her fifth-grade son that was on the gondola with us. The little boy looked at his mom and said, Mommy, he said, I don't want to come from a monkey. And even the little kid knew deep within him he didn't want to come from a monkey. And I leaned over. I said, young man, I said, don't worry. You didn't come from a monkey. Let me tell you something. We have to be very careful with what he put in front of our kids, because one day Satan may take some of those untruths we've told them and try to get us to say, hey, Jesus didn't walk on the planet either. Jesus didn't die on the cross for your sins. Jesus didn't rise from the dead. I'm all about teaching truth to people that I'm around.
Oh, I like Santa Claus, and I like giving my loved ones and friends gifts. But don't forget the reason for the season. And friends, don't forget your kids someday will go to a public school, and they'll be taught there's no Santa Claus, there's no Peter Rabbit, and there's no God creating the universe either. We're going to take a break, give away another copy of One Heartbeat Away, and come back with more with Mark Cahill. Friends, if you're not lucky enough to get a copy, go by your Christian bookstore, Lifeway, Grapevine, Christian Treasures. All the bookstores have this. You can probably get it at, markcahill.org?
.org, not .com. It's the guy in Germany who doesn't like me a whole lot.
MarkCahill.org. We're going to give away a copy and come back with more after this quick timeout.